Can stable post-MI patients safely stop beta blockers after 1 year? Find out about this and more in today's PeerDirect Medical News Podcast. I'm your host, Senior VP Medical Director, Dr. Tim Wright, coming to you once again from the Pioneer Valley in Western Massachusetts. Here are today's stories. Long-term beta blocker therapy after myocardial infarction has been standard practice for decades, even in patients without heart failure or reduced ejection fraction. However, a randomized non-inferiority trial published in the New England Journal of Medicine evaluated whether continuation is necessary in stable patients more than 1 year after MI. In this study, over 2,500 patients with preserved left ventricular function and no heart failure were randomized to either continue or discontinue beta blocker therapy. At a median follow-up of over just 3 years, discontinuation was non-inferior to continuation for the composite outcome of death, recurrent myocardial infarction, or hospitalization for heart failure. Event rates were similar between groups, and there was no increase in adverse outcomes with stopping therapy. These findings suggest that in a stable post-MI patient without another clear indication, indefinite beta blocker therapy may not be necessary. For primary care clinicians, this introduces an opportunity to reassess long-term medications, reduce polypharmacy, and individualize treatment decisions based on current risk rather than historical precedent. In our next story, we learn of an updated guideline from the Journal of the American College of Cardiology and Circulation that introduces a more aggressive and individualized approach to lipid management. The 2026 ACC/AHA guideline emphasizes earlier intervention to reduce cumulative lifetime exposure to elevated LDL cholesterol, a key driver of atherosclerotic cardiovascular disease. A major update is the adoption of the Prevent Risk Calculator, designed to better estimate both 10 and 30-year cardiovascular risk and avoid overestimation seen with prior tools. Risk categories are now more precisely defined and used to guide earlier initiation and intensity of lipid-lowering therapy. The guidelines also expand the role for additional biomarkers, including lipoprotein A, lipoprotein B, as well as selective use of coronary artery calcium scoring to refine risk assessment. Lower LDL targets are recommended, particularly in high-risk individuals. The shift is toward earlier, more personalized treatment decisions that prioritize long-term risk reduction rather than delayed intervention. And finally, a large cohort study published in JAMA Network Open provides new data for the absolute risk of hyponatremia associated with thiazide diuretics, highlighting important age and sex-related differences. Thiazides remain a common first-line treatment for hypertension, but their safety profile may be less benign in certain populations. Among more than 150,000 patients, the cumulative incidence of profound hyponatremia was higher in those initiating thiazides compared with calcium channel blockers. The risk was particularly elevated in older adults and women. In patients aged 80 years and older, and the incidence reached 2.4% with a number needed to harm of approximately 53 for severe hyponatremia. In contrast, the risk was minimal in younger patients. These findings suggest that patient selection is critical when initiating thiazide therapy. The consideration of alternative hypertensive agents and close monitoring of serum sodium, particularly in older women, may help mitigate this risk. And that's today's medical news. Thank you for joining us this episode of PeerDirect Medical News Podcast. For more stories like these, visit us at PeerDirect.com. Thoughts, comments, or suggestions? Please leave us a review on your preferred listening platform or email us at editorial@PeerDirect.com. Listen and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also download our Amazon Alexa Flash Briefing Medical News Roundup and just ask, what's my flash briefing? Thanks today to Sean Mullen, Norm Dion, and Bryce City for production assistance. Join me next time for the episode where we cover the latest stories in the world of medicine.